Turn to John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. And we're going to read a few verses here as we talk about how and when we are born again. And I want you to notice the emphasis that I place on several verses as we go, because that ties into our topic, how and when we are born again. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that they were seeing that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, now here's the first emphasis I want you to notice, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's number one right there. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, and here's the second emphasis, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And here's the third time Jesus says the same thing. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, and here's the fourth time, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And here's the fifth time that he mentions the same thing. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I've studied this portion of verses for many, many years, and I guess like a diamond, every time you look at the Scripture, it always can look at a different angle in a different way, and it shines anew. And I just never really noticed that five times the Lord refers to being born again. That's very telling, isn't it? Five times in just 6 verses. 5 times in 6 verses as he speaks with a man who was a master in Israel, who was a master theologian. The word there where it says ruler of the Jews is the Greek word archon, which means a high-level individual who was supposed to have a lot of things figured out. And 5 times our Savior felt it important to mention to this man, born again, born again, born again. And 2 more times he says it. He's saying the same thing to him 5 different times, and in many ways, 5 different ways, to try to get this point across to a man who should have understood these things. Now, this message and this subject is the 4th topic from my poll that I carried out of the top 5 teachings that set apart or should set apart what we believe as Old Baptists. They're all important. They're all incredibly important. Salvation by grace alone, understanding depravity and understanding election, time salvation and eternal salvation. Last week, the kingdom of God, being intentional in the kingdom of God. And here we come to a complete, beautiful tie-in to the kingdom of God, because Jesus says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see what? He cannot see the kingdom of God. It's been amazing to me in studying these 4 or 5 subjects, just how they are just inextricably linked together, just woven together as a perfect fabric of truth that has no contradiction in them whatsoever. That makes me rejoice in the Lord that he knew how we needed it to be that way. We needed it to be so simple. How can someone who's believed something different all of their life, set under another type of teaching, how could someone actually get over that and come to the truth of God's word that sets apart, that is set apart from everything else? It's because the fabric that God has woven together is perfect. kingdom of God connects to being born again. Born again connects to salvation by grace alone. It all connects to total depravity. It all connects to God's choosing and election. It's amazing. And I love, as the older I get, the more you would think, the older you get, well, you know, I've been there, I've done that, I don't really have to go there again. Oh, well, that's modern religion. You know, once you've accepted Jesus, you've let him in your heart, you've prayed the sinner's prayer, you've done the baptism and all that, what more use do you have for the Lord? You're in. But if you believe the truth and you understand those things are not what the Word of God teaches, it just gets bigger and more beautiful and more amazing the older you get. And for the older ones who will probably, I hope, amen this, the closer you get to glory. Amen? And none of the older ones said anything. I'll amen for you. Amen. The closer you get to glory, the more precious these truths are. Amen. Thank you. Look, I'm not too good to try to coax out some amens now, especially on a day that I need a lot of help and a lot of prayers. The older I get, the more beautiful and the bigger and the greater God gets. Now, if that's not your experience, you need to do some looking in the mirror. If you're getting older and you're growing, whatever age you may be, I'm talking about 50, 40, 30, 20, as you continue to learn the truth and you're like, and you have in your mind, ah, been there, done that, you're not getting it. It's not a been there, done that. It's a been there, bring me back again, let me see more. You get bigger and greater and more amazing. That's your experience. That's what it ought to be. So do a little self-check. You say, well, it's just the preaching's kind of dry. Maybe it is, but maybe you're dry too. So do a little self-check. If it's not getting bigger and more beautiful and more amazing and Christ larger in your life and the light brighter in terms of His glory, then we need to continue to press. You say, well, I've been through too much suffering. Listen, we're afraid to suffer and we don't understand suffering. In the midst of suffering are the times when you could possibly see the Lord in the most beautiful and large way. That's the way He is. That's the way the great I Am is, that you could see Him in such great ways. This is a perfect, symbiotic, interconnected, unerring, infallible truth that we're talking about here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see how this ties into the kingdom of God? It also ties into the last subject, or what may be next to last subject. I've got one of my own I'm going to throw in there, I think, from my own personal poll with myself. It also ties into the purpose of the gospel. Because being born again does not come by hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel comes after a child of God is born again and they rejoice in it. No more than a child being born into the world cannot call upon their name of their parent, mama or daddy, or cry out, just cry. A natural child cannot cry until they're born into this world. Neither can a child of God cry out and rejoice in a gospel way until they're born again. How and when are we born again? Now let me say this. Jesus says it five times to Nicodemus. I'm going to tell you, these are nuclear bombs being dropped on Nicodemus and his salvation plan and his ideas about God. They are nuclear bombs, mind blowers, two incredible teachings here. He says you must be born again and the kingdom of God. Now, granted, Nicodemus primarily focuses in on that first one. He doesn't even get to the kingdom of God part because he already thinks he's in the kingdom of God, what he thought was the kingdom of God. So I want you to notice the descriptions by Christ on how we are born again. Nicodemus says, don't miss this, because this is a response. You know, sometimes when Jesus gives a response, if we're not careful to study and to understand the context, we might think, well, Jesus is changing the subject. He's not changing the subject. Nicodemus says, we know that you must be a teacher come from God, because we see with our physical eyes these miracles that you're doing, and because of these miracles, we believe no man can do those things except God be with him. So, but from a natural standpoint, naturally, Nicodemus has concluded, with some others apparently, this guy must be from God because of what we see with our physical eyes. Except God be with him, Jesus, you couldn't do this. And Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the spiritual kingdom of God. Y'all get that? Nicodemus says, naturally, I see the miracle. Whatever that miracle was, healing the leper, healing the blind, making the dumb talk. He says, we see that, so we have concluded naturally that you must be from God, a prophet or something like that from God. And Jesus turns it on its head and he says, no, you could not see what I'm doing except you be born again. You see, we're talking about a natural sight that Nicodemus saw, and Jesus is speaking of a spiritual sight that you really can't comprehend what I'm doing except to be born again. Now, I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I believe with all my heart that Nicodemus was born again already, because he wouldn't have been there pursuing Jesus. He wouldn't have been there asking questions, but he didn't understand, like many of God's people today, who think they heard a sermon and the Lord came into their heart, or they let the Lord in their heart. Like many of God's people today, they think they have no clue about how God got in there. And Jesus says, you could not reach the conclusion that you think you have reached, Nicodemus, except you be born again. I hope that makes sense, because Christ is making it so simple for Nicodemus that it would take a theologian to misunderstand it. And you know what happens? The theologian, Nicodemus, totally misunderstands it. Have you ever been in a situation and you blurted out something and you wish you hadn't? I have a million, jillion times. Boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Especially whenever you're sitting back and everybody's kind of smart that's there, you know, and you want to make them think that you're just as smart as they are. And you blurt something out and they're like, oh, this guy's a dummy. I've done that many times. If I had just kept my mouth shut, as the proverb says, even the fool is counted wise when he keeps his mouth shut. But people like me are always running their mouth and always speaking for a living and doing the things that they say and blurt out something. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't said that. That's what Nicodemus does. Nicodemus' mind is so blown that his emotional reaction when he hears what Jesus says, that turns it on its head. He goes, what? How can a man be born again when he's old? This is really an unintelligent response to what Jesus has said. I'm going to show that to you. Jesus basically tells him that. In response to the first time that Jesus drops two nuclear bombs on the mind and the life and the culture of Nicodemus, being born again and the kingdom of God, Nicodemus blurts out, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? You see how illogical that is? That is completely illogical. It borders on unintelligent. And Jesus says, he repeats the same thing again. Verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully. That's Jesus amening himself at the beginning of the sentence. Y'all can't amen me until you hear what I say and make sure that it's sound. And then you say, amen, I hope. But Jesus is always sound, always right, always truth. And he says of himself, amen, amen. What I'm about to tell you, he says, is truth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he goes on. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a response to Nicodemus's somewhat unintelligent answer. How can a man be born again? That's flesh. Y'all get that? He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. There is the third time that Jesus speaks of the new birth, of being born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about a natural birth. I'm talking about something else. And let me go ahead and tell you this. If you look at the definition of the word again, where it says born again, except a man be born again, the definition of that word literally means from above. Born from above. So Nicodemus, hearing Jesus say that, you see how somewhat unintelligent his response was? Because Jesus is not saying, except a man be naturally born again. No, Jesus says, except a man be born from above, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He says, Nicodemus, I get it. I'm the one that created natural birth. But I'm talking about spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And that word marvel, the word marvel where he uses that towards Nicodemus, it literally means do not begin to wonder. And usually whenever that is interpreted in the New Testament, it means an unintelligent wonder. Unintelligent. That's where I get that from, that Nicodemus's response to Jesus' statement was somewhat on the unintelligent level. It was a blurt. And it was also something that he just reactionary said. And Jesus says, do not begin to wonder about what I'm telling you. This is not rocket science. That's about the way we would say it today. This is something very simple. I'm talking about being born from above. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And here he goes with another example that is a mind blower, but it's so simple. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one, without exception, that is born of the Spirit. Five times Jesus says, you must be born from above. He says, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, which is a reference to the same thing. So how do we know that's a reference to the same thing? Because Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, have we been born again, but by the washing of regeneration. Water is symbolic of the washing of the Holy Spirit. Plus, he says, born from above, you must be born again. All of those indicate he's talking about the same thing. Why would Jesus change the subject in the midst of it? He's not talking about baptism, and he's not talking about a natural birth. He's talking about the same thing. You must be born from above. He says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's from the Spirit. And ye must be born from above, verse 7. And then so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So three times he says, basically, born from above. And then he says twice, born of the Spirit. Can there be any doubt just from the language itself that this is not something that man, woman, or child can do? This is something that God does. And this blew the mind of Nicodemus. You must be born from above. How are we born again? It is from above. It is of God. It is of the Spirit. Everyone's born again. How? The same way. There are no exceptions to that. It's interesting that Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, there are no exceptions to that. You must come under the exception in order to be part of the rule. You understand that? There is no one since the dawn of time, from the days of Adam down to this very day. Brother Luke talked about how there's so many horrible things going on in the world right now. And it's scary to think about that. The plans and the plots and the evil and the terrible things that are going on. But don't you forget this either. At the same time, somewhere on this planet right now, the sovereign God of the universe is borning again one or more of his children. Probably at this very moment. And it's the direct operation of the Holy God. It's the sovereign work of the Spirit like the wind. The wind of God, the Spirit of God can go into the womb of the woman who is about to murder her child in abortion. The Holy Spirit of God can blow into the heart of a child of God who does not have the mental capacity to be able to verbalize a sentence. The Holy Spirit of God can blow into the heart of a wicked thief as he's hanging on the cross, having just cursed the name of the Savior. And the Holy Spirit can enter that heart. No preacher, no person, no parent, no one can do that but God. Listen, you must be born again. You must be. And it's the work of God. And every single child of God, chosen in the covenant of redemption before the foundation of the world, will be born again at some point between conception and death. We must say conception, right? Because we see in the Word of God time and again where there were babies in the womb who already were born again before they were born into this world. What a great hope that is, right? And did you know that all of the evidence of children that are murdered
from the ones that were 2-year-old and younger in the days of Herod to the ones that they foolishly and selfishly cast their infant babies at the feet of a burning statue, a red hot statue like Molech or some of these other false gods, and they murdered their child. Did you know that the evidence in the Word of God shows us that those were born again children of God that are with the Lord right now? Check it out. So where do you get the message for that? You get it from the fabric of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. If it's an infant in the womb, if it's a person whose mental capacity does not permit them to speak or to verbalize a sentence, if it's a thief on the cross, if it's a David in his mother's arms, we've been over these examples time and again. Isn't it great that I don't just have to get up here and say, well, you know, I think this is the way it is, but it's too bad we don't have any examples. The examples are over and over in the Word of God, from babies down to a man at the end of his life like the thief of the cross. Being born again is the sovereign work of God. How does it happen? God does it. How does he know who to born again? He will born again that covenant child who's been adopted out of the family of Adam because of the depravity of Adam. He will born again that child sometime between conception and death. And he doesn't use the gospel to do it. He doesn't use the gospel to do it. He uses himself to do it. How are we born again? By God, born from above, by the Spirit. When are we born again? Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Every single child of God is born again the same way, and it's by the Spirit, and the Spirit is like the wind, and the wind is sovereign. Have you ever tried to control the wind? You can't do it. You might harness some power of the wind in a sailing ship, but you cannot control the wind. I've read in the accounts of the old sailors when they would be out there for days upon end when there was no wind blowing. And they'd just sit and they'd just float. You know why? Because they couldn't control the wind. But when the wind came along and picked up the sail, there they would go. It wasn't like today when you have an engine pushing the boat or the ship. In those days, they had to wait for the sail or get the oars out and start paddling. You can't control the wind. When are we born again? It's when God chooses to do that. It's like the wind, and you can't control the wind. And there are no exceptions to this. Don't you love how Jesus is laying this truth down for Nicodemus and saying, here's how it is. You must be born again. The Lord does the born again, and he does it when he pleases. You'll have to ask the Lord in heaven one day, well, why, Lord, did you choose to born again that thief on the cross whenever he had lived a life of crime and shame and brought untold misery upon his parents? You'll have to ask that question of the Lord, but I think I know a little bit about the answer to it. I think we can say, at least now, on this side of heaven, that one of the reasons that he born that thief again at that point in time when he went on and died a few hours later in execution, one of the reasons we could say is to prove to us unequivocally, finally and forever, that the new birth is by God's grace alone. Not by the preacher, not by the gospel, not by anything other than the Lord going to the heart of that child of God and working on them directly. That's consistent, isn't it? Some people say, well, no, we got to get the gospel to them. We need to get the truth out there. We need to speak the gospel. There's a place for that. But let's keep it in its place so it will properly glorify God. Listen, we need this truth. We need to understand the relief that we have, that salvation is of the Lord. It's not upon me to get some message to someone in order to help them to go to heaven. No, the Lord is going to born again his people no matter what their circumstance are. The Lord borns again everyone the same way, like the wind, but they have different circumstances that they're in, right? Now look, Nicodemus did not understand either one of these. He did not understand being born again, and he did not understand the kingdom of God. He focused in on the born again part. He failed utterly to grasp the idea of the spiritual birth as being essential to enter and to see the kingdom of God. He lived in a kingdom, and it was a political kingdom of the Pharisees, and they expected the Messiah to come and establish their Pharisaical kingdom in that area and possibly throughout the entire world. Can y'all imagine what a horrible condition the world would be in today if the Pharisees had some Messiah that had established their Pharisaical legalistic kingdom and spread it all over the world? Oh my goodness, what horrors we would be subjected to by the Pharisaical kingdom. And that's what they expected. They thought the hope of the Pharisee was our Pharisaical approach to Jehovah will get established and take over the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's still Pharisees around. There's still legalism around, and you need to be very, very careful about that. It will destroy, it will lie, it will backstab, it will gossip, it will do all that's what the Pharisees did. We don't want to be a part of the Pharisees' kingdom. We want to be a part of God's kingdom, right? And Nicodemus, he didn't understand any of it. And Jesus says, do not begin to wonder. Marvel not at this. Don't marvel that I've told you you must be born again. Because the wind is sovereign. Just like you have no control in a natural birth. I mean, obviously there's a reason why Jesus says you must be born from above, born again. The comparison is to natural birth where you have no control in that. Sister Tracy and I have been going back and copying off old VHS cassette tapes that are wearing out and fading out onto DVDs. And so we've had that running up there constantly, usually with the mute on, just as that records off. It has to do it in real time. And we've looked back. Where'd those 25 years go? Most of them are on Sister Madison and Sister Abigail right now as we're moving up through the years till we finally got something like this, you know, where it was digital. And I'm thinking, man, there was one we just saw recently where Sister Tracy was expecting Brother Asher. We didn't know Asher's name. We hadn't named him. We didn't know if he was a girl or a boy. You know, she just had a baby that was on the way. But when that time came for that baby to get here, that baby had no control over coming here, right? They came kicking and screaming, every one of them. My mom says I was extra kicking and screaming for 6 months. But in a natural birth, you have no control over, the baby has no control over when they get here. Jesus says in the spiritual birth, the child of God, adopted by grace, has no control over when they are brought into that fold. It's the work of God. And how does that happen? It's the work of God. When does that happen? When the Spirit chooses to blow like the wind upon that heart of that child of God. And Nicodemus answered, verse 9, he said, how can these things be? How can this be? And Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Come on, Nicodemus. You're the theological elite of the day. You have labored your entire life over the law and over the things of the law and over the Torah and all of these things. Are you telling me you can't get this simple concept of birth and wind down? Are y'all hearing this? The natural birth compared to the spiritual birth, the wind compared to sovereignty in the spiritual birth. Now watch what Jesus says. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verse 11, verily, verily, amen, amen. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, what are those earthly things? Natural birth and the wind. What are those earthly things? Natural birth and the wind. How simple is that? Everybody can understand natural birth, how it happens. Everybody can understand how the wind blows. He says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If you can't get down this simple, basic, milk of the word concept, teaching, truth, how in the world are you going to be expected to understand what I'm fixing to tell you? Jesus says. And what is that, Brother Tim? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How can anyone ever understand the true meaning of that spiritual concept that he just presented there, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son? You cannot understand the meaning of that until you understand natural birth and the wind. We all have that. So don't go to John 3:16 and try to explain it to somebody.
if they've been taught something else their whole life. They're not going to get it. Go to the natural birth. That is so simple. Go to the wind. That is so simple. You say, well, how can we understand it, Brother Tim? Whosoever believeth, 1 John 5 and 1 says, whosoever believeth is born of God. What's our subject here today? How and when are you born again? If you're a whosoever believer, you have been born of God. And you can rejoice in the gospel. But you can't rejoice in the gospel until you're born of God. Amen? You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you can't understand the natural birth being compared to how someone is being born again, and you can't understand the wind blowing and its sovereignty and understanding when somebody will be born again, then there's no hope to understand something spiritual like Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. I hope that makes sense. If Christ has spoken to us of earthly things, birth and wind, and we don't comprehend, then how can we understand heavenly things? How can we? I tell you what, thank God, He really dumbed it down for me. I'm so thankful that He did dumb it down for me. Brother David shared with me a writing of a woman, a Japanese woman who was living in Nagasaki, I believe it was, when the bomb hit. She was about 6 years old. This lady actually married someone in the military and lived in Northport, passed away sometime in the past. And she had some writings in her house. And he shared several of those with me, one of which was her experience about coming to understand and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she grew up in a totally different pagan type religion. And it was interesting to read because she said the night before that she went and told the preacher that she wanted to join the church, she wanted to be baptized, and follow the pattern of what she'd been told to do, you know, accepting, you know, praying the prayer, baptism, blah, blah, blah. The night before, she describes in her writing of what she felt and how she was and how the Lord was moving her. So I asked the question, when was she born again? She had to be born again to go and verbalize to someone and say, I love the Lord. You get that? So the Lord gets there first. The sovereign wind blows on that person. How and when we are born again, it's all of the Lord. If that blesses your heart here today, then you know what? Praise God, you are sanctified. You are set apart by that truth. And if there's one or more here that would like to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.